Hello, Sister Brewers. Welcome back to another episode. Today we're in the wild.
We're in nature with our amazing friend Rose, who doesn't have social media, so we can't take her anywhere.
But she is amazing. Rose, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit and kind of tell everyone
what you want me to say anything about myself? Hi, anything. We're in the wild. We're taking a sun bath and seeing beautiful butterflies.
Oh, we're charging our
chakras.
Yeah,
there we go. And one of the butterflies was highlighter yellow, like those super the highlight yellow of my morning.
If everyone wanted to know what Joy saw today, she saw a butterfly that looked like a highlighter. That's just that. Today we're talking about something that a lot of people go through. Sleep paralysis. I personally have never experienced sleep paralysis before, so, but these two have a lot of experience.
That's why we have Rose here today, because she's the one that I talked about this, and we've found out that both of us get sleep paralysis. For those that don't know, sleep paralysis is a temporary inability to move or speak while falling asleep or upon waking. So apparently it can affect anyone, but not I personally have not come across too many people that have experienced it.
Okay.
And Rose was one of those special people that shares this not very fun
connection.
So let's maybe we can get into like how you experienced it and when you first experienced it, and I can
like
share
the difference
my story
between the two of you, how you both
we can
went
like share experiences and kind of like nitpick at it and figure out like what we think it is and what science says that it is.
Absolutely.
And I don't always agree with what I think, you know, is out there. But let's go.
So how was your like first experience with sleep paralysis?
I remember I was very young. I didn't know what it was. My first one was really intense. It had a lot of hallucination. I didn't know what it was. And I woke up. My whole day was destroyed.
Yeah.
Because I was so scared. And I thought I was dying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So, I'm going to go back a little bit to, like Joy say, it is an inability to move when upon awakening or falling asleep. Mm-hmm. I have mine when I'm waking up.
Okay.
Mine is only when I'm waking up. Thank God, because I don't know if I could have a good sleep after an episode. Yeah. So I'm happy that I'm having it. I have them before, you know, waking up.
Yeah.
Now, the pathophysiology of it, what I understand and based on my own research, like you said, a lot of people don't know about sleep paralysis a lot of people experience it. But I think it's more common than people think.
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't know it's happening to them sometimes.
Exactly.
You feel like
that
you're numb in your sleep. I think that's what it is. Because, you're one person that I know over here on this side that go through it. I don't know many people. It's not a common
Maybe people don't talk about it a lot either because they don't.
Well, some
you know
confuse it with like nightmares too. Where it's like, oh, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And they like, okay, that's it, you know.
It could
but
be that.
Some people think a little deep within, they're like, I wonder what that was, you know?
Yeah.
So it really depends.
So for me, I think how I want to address this today is we already talk about the definition of what it is, an inability to move when we're waking up or falling asleep. That's the definition of it. Now, a bit more of the body, the pathophysiology of it is what is being said. And nobody really know exactly what it is.
Right, yeah.
But what is researched so far that I know is that there is the neurons in the pond, they inhibit the ones in the motor neurons in the spinal cord.
Okay.
So it impede them from moving. So we have different cycles of sleep.
Right.
We have the waking cycle, and then we have the REM sleep, which is the deepest dream, and that's when the breathing goes down, and that's where we we act up our dreams. We see all the vivid dreams.
Is REM when you lucid dream too?
Lucid dreaming. So then those two are not supposed to interact.
Gotcha.
Waking up and the wakeful cycle and the REM sleep cycles, they're not supposed to interact.
Right.
So somehow there's a glitch in the system.
For real.
There's
a
little glitch.
Yes. We have a glitch.
Right. So the wake up cycle and the REM sleep merge, mm-hmm. meet with each other for yeah. a few minutes. Some people have it for a few minutes. Thank yeah. God, I think mine is only a few seconds, but it feels like forever.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time. So when those two, like, imagine you are, REM sleep is where your body, everything depresses, everything depressed, your respiration depressed, your breathing goes down, the body is in a relaxing mode, your neurons in the spinal cord, they are inhibited, you cannot move, because if yeah. you move, if they're not suppressed, you're gonna act up your dream and hurt yourself,
right?
Yeah,
right.
So that's the body's intelligence to do that.
Gotcha.
Now we are in that stage, and at the same time you're awake.
Yes.
Yep. Your eyes are open, and that's why a lot of us have hallucination, because mm-hmm. you are seeing a dream, but then you're awake, so you're acting that, but you cannot move.
That's the best yeah. way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I understand on the scientific level of it. Mm-hmm. Now,
some people say it's also like caused by stress.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. You know, and I'm going to touch on that. Yeah. I'm going to definitely touch on that. So nobody knows exactly what it is, but for me, throughout those years, it's been a long time. I've been collecting data on myself mm-hmm. and see what works and what doesn't work. I do believe there's a lot of things that can trigger it. And there are people, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Right. So I would encourage everybody to do their own research Absolutely. And collect their own information on themselves. Notice, so the first thing is look at your sleep hygiene. Mm. What time you go to sleep? What time you wake up? How do you feel when you wake up? Yeah. Because when you, I don't know about you, but when I'm going to have an episode, I can feel it.
Yes, me too.
You can feel
me
it, right?
Too. Yeah, and mine actually happens when I'm going to bed, like as I'm falling asleep,
oh.
or sometimes in the middle of like being deep
oh,
asleep.
God. Wow. Okay. So yeah. it's different. Yeah.
So it's different.
That is yeah. super different. I don't want to have that.
Yeah.
Because you have it when you're about to
when
wake
I'm waking up.
Oh, when you're waking up.
Yeah. But sometimes I'm so tired, so I'm like, I don't care. I'm just gonna go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah. It's definitely like the first time was really really scary. But it is go scary. Ahead. You were saying.
So what I'm saying is, I think there are a lot of triggers. There are yes. a lot of things we can pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Those are my personal data collection. Maybe yeah, they yeah. can help somebody take a That's look true. At them yeah. and see if that works for them or mm-hmm. doesn't work for them.
Right.
First of all, I think caffeine, I'm sorry.
It's yes. true though.
Caffeine is because it makes the brain so awake. It's mm-hmm. a stimulant. And then after that, personally, I feel like when I used to drink a lot of coffee, I would go a few days. I'm so awake
yeah.
that after 2-3 days, then I have an episode.
Mm. Okay.
If I over consume coffee.
Maybe causes a glitch yeah. in right. the system.
It like might cause a glitch in the system. That's one thing I noticed. And now, I don't know all the scientific reasons for right. it. But I would encourage to take a look at it. I'm not saying caffeine is not good. Coffee is not good. I think that we should know ourselves.
Yeah, for everybody's me personally. Different. Like,
yeah, everybody's different.
Like everybody.
People react
like
different to many different. Things, you know? So it's yeah. like, it really depends on the person.
Yeah, and I don't say cut coffee completely. Maybe just decrease the amount. Also, I take it black. Mm-hmm. I think black coffee doesn't bother me as much as if I add a lot of sugar and other things in it.
Gotcha.
That's true. Yeah.
So
yeah.
for me personally, and yeah. for a lot of people too,
yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of people can agree. That's one yes. thing. The second thing is alcohol.
Yes, Ooh, I know yeah. that. For
alcohol, yeah. mixing different type of liquor okay. in a day, that used to be a guaranteed episode.
Really? Wow.
Guaranteed. If I mix different and I drink a little bit too much, guarantee I'm going oh, wow. to have one. And also certain food, I don't agree with me. If I eat super late at night and I go to bed right away, that doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, I feel weird if I eat late at night yeah, too. Yeah. I just don't feel the same.
You don't feel good?
Yeah, yeah.
And the body is overworking for digestion. Exactly. You cannot really rest.
You can't rest, yeah.
So that's that. And number one thing you mentioned slightly today is stress.
Stress, yeah.
Guarantee. If I'm under a lot of stress, a lot mm-hmm. of pressure, my brain is overworking, that glitch happened. It does. It yeah. happens. So I take all this information, all this data throughout the years and try every day to kind of like you know, figure work with that. Too. Yeah. Yeah. And say, you know what? I stressed a little bit too much. Let me go take a little time away. Because I don't like to be in that state of sleep paralysis.
Right.
So those are things to manage before it happens. That's the way I control the triggers. Mm-hmm. Now, when that can still, it can, you can still have an episode because you don't know exactly. Sometimes outside of yourself can trigger. You might take all the measures because this is a condition some people have.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're in a new place and you don't know, the air just doesn't go well with you. And you have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I also have to add is that there is a spiritual component of it as well that a lot of people talk about. They talk about it is contact with spirit, contact with aliens, and there's so many different, you know, type of, you know, theory out there. For me, I do take it as a spiritual thing, but I also understand the scientific part of it as well.
Right. And who says it can be both?
Yeah, exactly.
It could be both.
Both understandings.
It could be both, So, you know, not only taking precaution before they happen and also understand how the episodes can be triggered. The biggest thing is once something, once one of them happen and you're having an episode, the biggest thing, which is the most challenging thing to do, is to stay calm.
Yes. True. That is the most challenging. That is so true.
Because some people do tend to freak out.
The more you freak out, the worse it gets.
Yes, that is actually very true because my first episode, I freaked out and it got worse.
Yep. It gets worse.
I'll talk about that later.
It gets really really bad if you freak out. And it's the most difficult thing to learn to do. The most challenging thing to do is to learn to stay calm.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like that's a good motto for everything in life.
Yeah.
But especially, especially for sleep paralysis, I think if you just tell yourself, like, right, this is just a hallucination, it's gonna go away, like, just give it some time.
Yeah,
I think it's easier for you to overcome it.
Absolutely.
Then if you're like freaking out, like, what's going on? Oh my god, like, what's happening? You know,
that's the worst thing you can do is having anxiety. And you know, there is, throughout the years, again, I will say that there is a level of acceptance. If something happened, I get to the point where of acceptance and say, you know what, if I stay in this state for the rest of my life, then I know it's the scariest thing we can think about, but sometimes when you face fear head on, you release, you deliver. You kind of like liberate yourself from it, you know? So I have had a situation where I'm like, if that's what it is, I'm going to get the best out of it. Now, meditation, some things that help. Staying calm, number one. Yeah. We good on time?
Yep, we're good on time.
Staying calm is number one, and it's a practice, it's a muscle. We have to always be practicing staying calm.
That's true.
Number one. Number two is knowing. So for me, I've had it for so long. Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity through intense training, know how to shift it to my own benefit.
Yeah.
Now, once I'm in an episode,
I want to hear more about that because that is so unique.
Because I don't like to be in it. I don't call it upon myself, but I have had a lot of training to shift it. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is you can use sleep paralysis. I know it's woo-woo, but you can use it to astral travel.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
I have found things that I lost.
Wow.
When I'm in sleep paralysis, I'm getting chills.
Oh my God.
But I have had sleep paralysis and I use it for to find things that I lost. And while I'm in it, you can direct your mind. It's very, very challenging.
Yeah.
It's very challenging. It takes a lot of practice. So you're conscious. You are conscious when you're in sleep paralysis. You can tell your mind, hey, I lost something. Where is it? So it's like you separate your body and your spirit goes and look for it. Mm-hmm. I have had many times that I can't find something.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I wake up, lo and behold, that wherever my spirit goes, that's where the thing I lost is. Yeah.
How'd you find that out for the first time that you could, like, travel?
I think, to be honest with you, I've always done some research on astral traveling. Mm-hmm. And also, I think this is something that came to me, downloaded to me through spirit. Okay. Because I was so scared of sleep paralysis. I'm like, there's something in me that told me there is something good out of it. It cannot only be bad.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it cannot only be bad. So just meditate through meditation, thinking about it a lot and face it head on.
Yeah.
I think, and with a little bit of research about astral traveling, because this is something that I always wanted to do.
I'm very interested in that too, astral travel. I think that should be another episode.
Yeah.
You have
the
research on that.
It's an interesting topic.
Yeah. You know, you can
have you watched that show on Netflix, Through Her Eyes?
No.
It's about astral travel. Really, you should check it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, I have yet to watch that. I'm still on Gossip Girl.
Girl, you gotta level up.
Level up. We need those things, too. We need the main name stuff. Right? I like trash TV sometimes.
Right? Little chick flicks. I can't. I have to the big
Definitely, we'll check it out. I don't have Netflix. I don't have electronics things. But yeah. I should probably be a little bit more integrated in society.
Like, I'm taking a break from technology, which is fine too, because we all need one.
I haven't had social media. Oh my god, I haven't been on social media since before the pandemic.
Oh really? Wow.
I never post anything. I never check anything. I'm like, no more social media. Yeah. It's. I think there's a level of stress that is.
It's true.
It took away from me.
That's true. I mean, I'm mostly on the podcast and Instagram, like scrolling through whatever. Then I am on my own because I'm like, there's too much going on in my personal, and this one's better for me.
Right.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's more structured because, you know, when you have to post and stuff, I know. But there's definitely a level of stress that comes with
absolutely.
It.
It's true,
and that pressure of, like, having to post and all the stuff. So, definitely.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. No, yeah, it's going back to, it's an interesting topic. Yeah. Even in electronics can trigger that.
Yeah.
Wow. As well. Yeah. Being on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
If you are somebody that struggle with that, even so scrolling through social media, being on the phone a lot, that also can be a trigger as well. And because the brain it has a lot to do with the brain, the firing of the neurons and things. I'm not a neuroscientist or like a doctor or anything like that, but I can see through my own experience and through what I know from other people, those things trigger.
They do play a role. It's like overworking the brain, like overstimulation, scrolling all the time. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think I've ever had sleep paralysis before. But
please.
I feel like I might have mixed up one time for a nightmare because I wasn't really. I'm like, I think it's just like me, you know. But I remember being in your home, and
in my old one. Okay.
And I was sleeping in my niece's room. And I had my back face, like, towards the door. And I'd waken up, and I think this was during REM sleep, because I was, like, half awake. Like, I don't even know what was going on. But I was, like, frozen. Like, usually I'm able to, like, flip to the other side and just go back to sleep. But I literally could not move. I was, like, on my side like this.
Girl, that's sleep paralysis.
That's sleep paralysis.
And I felt, but at the time, I'm, like, oh, it was just, like, a little, like, nightmare. I was just overthinking. Who knows? But I felt like there was someone, like, sitting.
Oh, that is sleep paralysis.
Like there was someone like sitting right beside me. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
So I just shut my eyes. I'm like, nope, I'm going back to sleep. I'm like, that's not happening. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
I think
Joyce
a lot of people have it. Yeah. I literally had a period where now in hindsight, I know that I was really stressed and I was going through a lot.
Yeah.
I literally have an episode every single night for a while. Mm-hmm. And
every single night.
And then it comes with a level of anxiety.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to go to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
I'm scared
too.
Of going to sleep because I know I'm going to have one.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Oh, it's crazy.
It was so. It's like you want to sleep. You're so exhausted. You're so tired. You just want to close your eyes, but then you like get
you're
this
scared.
Anxiety. That you're like, oh my God, no, I'm going to get sleep paralysis. You know?
Oh my God.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
It's nice to have someone who understands.
Yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
It's very nice.
I know, you're like, I'm not crazy? Okay, good.
I know, it is,
comfortable
yeah.
comfortable situation
like, oh,
to
shoot.
Be in. Yeah.
Maybe I have some demon in my head or something.
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, because I connected a lot with spirituality because of how I experienced mine.
Yeah.
And I can quickly kind of explain that and why I affiliated with spirituality, and then you can tell me what you think about that. So the first time I had it, I was in college, and I was I went to bed, just like a normal night. I wake up in the middle of, like, the night, whatever, like, you know, in my deepest sleep, and I hear the devil's laugh, like the, ooh, you know, like the evil type of laugh that you hear, like, in the movies, you know?
Right, yeah.
Right outside my window, like, it was coming from the window, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I couldn't move. Then I started seeing, like, slender people all around, like, slender shadows, like, all around my room.
Oh my God.
My TV, I had forgotten the TV on when I got to bed. The TV wasn't even on anymore, but it was, like, you know, like static-y. A static? Yeah, it was, like, staticky. God. And I was trying to scream, and I'm like, what the hell is happening to me? Like, I was trying to scream for help, but my parents couldn't hear me. I was like, why are they not hearing me? Like, why can't I speak? And it felt like there was, like, pressure on my chest. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody was sitting on my chest. And I was trying to, like, scream and yell for help. And nobody could hear me, and I couldn't move. Then, eventually, I don't know how, like, it just, like... And then it just, like, ends, you know? You come out of it. Mm-hmm. And I told my mom the next day, right? And then, so she started telling her friends. So, they were trying to, like, figure out what's happening. Because she, you know, she didn't really know what it was either. And then... One of her friends was like, oh, she was probably, you know, like, young kids, they probably eat in their bed and they leave, like, breadcrumbs in their bed, and that's why they have bad dreams like that. I'm like, that is so, oh my God, okay, that is not the reason why, but okay, let's move on. Then I told my best friend, who lived, Alba, we lived in the same building and at the time in Canada. So she had started having sleep paralysis as well at the same time.
Oh my God.
Yes. So, same kind of thing. She would, like, think that it was, like, you know, what it was her episode. Like, I shouldn't talk about it because it's her thing. But she had the same thing as me. So, then her mom started talking to, like, other to her friends.
Hers was creepy, too, though, so.
Right. Oh, yeah, man. It was, like, in a creepy way, too. Yeah. So, then one of her mom's friends said, hey, listen, like, my daughter, like, actually talks to spirits. So, in order for us to stop, like, spirits from getting into our house... And for her to stop having these, like, conversations or seeing them, we went to church and we got these, like, things that they burnt on the stove. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like sage, incense. You know, like incense. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she gave her those, and she gave some to me and burnt some in her house. But I'm telling you, until we found those stones, like, it was, like, once it started, it was, like, one episode after another, after another, after another. It was, like, nonstop. Like, to the point where, like we just said, I had anxiety going to bed because I didn't want to go to sleep because I was scared. But after we burned the stones and I went all around the house, like, kind of blessing the house, you know, room by room, they stopped.
Mm-hmm. That building was creepy in general, too. Like, there was, like,
I know, you used to see things as a kid there, too. So I connected a lot to spirituality. And then I had a friend who's, one of her parents had passed. I slept over her house. I hadn't had sleep paralysis in a while. She had spoken to me a lot about, you know, the parent that passed and stuff like that. So I kind of created that connection with her unknowingly.
Right.
And unconsciously. So I then had two sleep paralysis with her mom who had passed.
That's crazy.
Saw her in my sleep paralysis. And then one time she, like, came up in my face like this and, like, screamed.
Wow.
And it was just, and well, this was while I was sleeping over her place. And ever since that
you
day, I was
that,
like, I'm
connection
not.
Accidentally.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm not sleeping over there again because I had a sleep paralysis. Then it happened to me in my house. The same thing, sleep paralysis. And, like, the spirit was like, it was just so crazy because it felt like the spirit literally went through my body. Mm-hmm. I felt her anger.
Wow.
And she, like, came back out. Like, I don't know how to explain it to
that
you.
That is
crazy. So crazy.
It's like she took over your soul for a second and it was, like,
she, like, literally wanted me to feel, like, how she felt. Yeah. And then she, like, left. Oof. And after that, that's we burned some more of whatever we got from the church. After that, it stopped for a while. Then it started again, like, towards the end of before I moved out of the house that I was in for, like, a few years now. Same thing again. It was, like, this older woman. I don't know who she was. I was having sleep paralysis. I couldn't move. I couldn't yell. She comes to me and, like, just goes right in my face. And I get scared. And that's when I, you know, like, I'm able to release the sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
then the latest one that happened to me was about a few nights ago. Remember I told you about this?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I called out to Archangel Michael, because now before I go to bed, every single night I have this ritual that I just call out to my angels and the archangels. And so I call out to my Archangel Michael as I'm about to, like, feel the paralysis happening. And I was like, and I was able to stop the sleep paralysis from happening, because I said, Archangel Michael, please protect me while asleep tonight. Yeah. I'm not allowing this to happen. I was like, I'm not allowing this to happen, over and over again, and it stopped.
Wow.
I was able to stop the sleep paralysis from protector. Happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I connected to spirituality.
I started it, but I can edit this out.
Yeah, edit this out. All right, so yeah, I think we're just, you know, with all that said, I think we're just trying to connect sleep paralysis to spirituality, because there's so much evidence to us, at least, mm-hmm, that it is connected to the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Rose, you want to add anything more to that?
I totally agree. I think that we are so much more spirit than we are physical.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we don't see it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because, like, half of our time we are in the spirit world, mm-hmm, in our dream or sleep. You know, we can go deep and deep and deep into it. But what I want to say about that is that when it comes to spirituality and the sleep paralysis, it's all about an assessment of where we are in our spiritual walk.
Yeah.
Because, like, it is a really scary thing. It can also be something that we use, like we were talking about this morning. You know, we use to our advantage. We can use it for growth, to contact people we want to talk to,
right,
or find out things we want to, information. All of these things are tools that the spirit have that we can use in our own, mm-hmm, walk in this physical world. We can use those things to empower us in this spiritual, in the physical world, to get information, because all of these are birthrights that we have.
Yes,
as spiritual beings in a body, we can use those spiritual experiences to find things to help us to walk this life in a little bit better. Like I was explaining, things that you lost, you can find with that. Mm-hmm. Also, people you want to contact, information you want to have, things like direction, you know, for example, direction. And to be honest with you, I know I'm going to add a little caveat. I don't know if there's children listening to this, but you can also use it for pleasure.
You can
use it for pleasure, have a good time in your spiritual experience, and it doesn't have to be anything naughty or anything like that. It could just be think about it in your mind, a party, whatever friend you want to be connected to in your dreams, good time with your loved ones. Think about a good moment that you have and relive that.
Exactly.
And that's where we are able to, like, use these things to empower us. And then it's not going to be so scary.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Know?
That's what honestly. I believe in a spiritual world. But we can go deeper in that as
100%.
To contact certain spirit, talk to certain spirit, and also assess our own life.
Yeah, our mind. I think it's all about controlling our mind, and
exactly,
you know, we come here with our mind, because it's like we're given, like, our mind is like the tool that we have.
Right.
To navigate life, but we have to master it, you know.
Absolutely.
Don't let it master us.
Yeah
So but practice. That does take a lot of practice, and you know, I think the more we use our mind and kind of mold it to what we want it to be, mm-hmm, I think the better our relationship will be with ourselves as well.
Yeah, you can literally manipulate it into something that actually benefits you instead of it being so scary.
100%. But that comes with practice.
It comes with practice.
Just like everything else in life. Yeah.
Yes.
Everything with practice.
You know, we're so used to that instant gratification that we want everything to happen, like, in the snap
perfection
of a finger. Good things take time.
Yes. True. Definitely. A lot of practice of staying calm. You don't have to sit in lotus position to meditate. Just sit down and kind of, like, soothe yourself. That's what I've been doing throughout the years to help me. Just soothe yourself as you go every day. Just talk to yourself and just, like, hey, this is normal in my life right now. Mm-hmm. That's your new normal. accept it, open up to it, mm-hmm. and you'd never know where it can take you.
Exactly.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is part of us. Whatever we cannot change.
Could be a blessing in disguise.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll learn to accept it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Going with the flow of life.
Absolutely.
Not trying to control everything.
Yeah.
That's one thing I hate doing, control.
Right. But that's resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what causes the anxiety that we have with that.
But that's our take on spiritual spiritual paralysis.
Spiritual paralysis.
Sleep paralysis, but also known as spiritual paralysis to us.
AKA
to
Joy. Yes,
but okay, but Rose has a lot of wonderful gifts. I don't want to know if you want to share some of those and maybe let people know how they can reach you, maybe through us.
Through Joy and Alex, if you guys want to get in contact with me, these are my girls.
We're your messenger.
We love
you.
Yeah.
We're your messenger.
The bridge.
The bridge. Oh, my
yes.
God.
The bridges. Yeah, so definitely. If you need me, you'll find me.
I love that. Absolutely. Exactly. The universe will bring it to the right people always. Yes.
So all go
right.
through Joy and I, you'll know where to find us. But that was it on sleep paralysis.
Yeah, just a quick dive into That's it. Awesome. And if you have questions, you guys can always let us know. We'll answer them on another episode.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. Awesome.
Love you.
Yeah.
Bye.